I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's another Sunday edition of the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. Justin Cuthbert hanging out with Julian McKenzie. And we have our Stanley Cup Final. Not really a surprising one, but an exciting one nonetheless. Colorado Avalanche will face the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are back for a third straight Stanley Cup Final appearance. Of course, they're going for the three-peat. They were successful trips the last two, and we'll see what happens with this third one just to come here. This is very, very exciting, Julian. We've reached the end of the season. Not the end of the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast with you and I. We've still got a couple more episodes in the queue here, but this is pretty exciting to be able to talk about a pretty fantastic Stanley Cup Final.
I'm excited because, I mean, we get two of the best teams, the loaded offense and loaded team that the Avalanche have, the Cup champion, reigning Cup champion, Lightning, going for a three-peat and going for a modern-day dynasty. This is also a Stanley Cup Final matchup I wanted last year. Like, at the beginning of last year, I was like, okay, this is what we're getting. And then at the beginning of those playoffs, I was like, all right, we're probably going to get like Pittsburgh and Vegas or something. And then we got Tampa, Montreal. So, you know, these things just, you know, it's just the weird thing with the Stanley Cup Final is it's not often you get the matchup you really, really want. Like, sometimes you'll try to call it because some team has this amount of experience or this team has a hot goalie, or you're trying to call the Cinderella story to work. We got a matchup where we genuinely got two powers. Well, one seemingly at the height of their powers and another one looking to become that superpower that they've been projecting themselves to be for years. It's not often we get that matchup, but we actually got it. And I know I kind of overhyped the Western Conference Final, thinking it was going to be something we were going to get like something spectacular, like McDavid and McCarr and McKinnon and all that. So I'm going to try to temper my expectations a little bit for this Stanley Cup Final, but I'm still very excited at what we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what happens, happens. We thought the Oilers and Avalanche would be this like explosion of fun and offense, and it was for at least two games. It was very, very entertaining. We got two unbelievable games, but it was a little bit lopsided. I'm not sure how this one's going to play out. We'll get into like a deeper breakdown a little bit later in the show. But I do, as you said that, one thing just pops into my head, and we can kind of start off this and maybe circle back, is that, yeah, okay, for the Lightning, it's this opportunity to do something like no other team I think we would even expect to do again. Like, this is pretty unbelievable what they've accomplished. Greatest team I think probably you and I have ever seen, at least in this like short little window. I think they've usurped the Chicago Blackhawks in terms of like best team of the salary cap era. They might have done that already before making it to the Stanley Cup Final. And for that reason, there's like pressure to have this, don't let this opportunity, you know, pass them by. Like John Cooper said at the start of the Leafs series, that if you're right there on the cusp of greatness, why not bang down that door? I mean, they are right there and they have that opportunity to do something that I don't know if we'll ever see again. But I think there are more pressures on the Avalanche because they've been around just as long, not just as long, but, you know, they've been around for a few years and they are one of the teams that has suffered or is about to suffer from the cost of winning without having won yet. And they're going to be a different looking team next year. And this is their chance, their best chance, at least, to win a Stanley Cup. Now, we probably would have said the same thing about the Lightning 2 years ago, maybe a year ago. Like, there was no way they're going to be able to do it again because they're going to lose players, which they did. But the Avalanche have this one opportunity, perhaps, and they've got to take advantage of it while the other team, the Lightning, can like kind of free roll at the table a little bit because they already have two. They could win another and they might not even change as much as Colorado will this summer. So lots of pressure on both sides, but for different reasons. I wonder if you see it that way as well.
That's actually a really good point. I think you made a really good point there. Just, I think of Nathan MacKinnon last year getting bounced in the second round, saying he's been in the league how many years and he hasn't won ish. I think that's also part of it too. Like guys like Steven Stamkos, they have their rings. Nikita Kucherov, all those guys, they can say they have their rings and they will be forever remembered in Stanley Cup history. Nathan MacKinnon is a guy we consider to be in the top three, no lower than top five as far as I'm concerned. And you can make an argument no lower than top three, really, in terms of the best players in the National Hockey League. And if he loses this Stanley Cup here, I mean, considering how hard it is to get up to that mountain, you could make the, there's a chance Colorado might not ever get back to that place again. Like, look, Colorado should be this team that should be going to the conference final and final every year. But with the way hockey works sometimes, you don't get that chance. I'm with you on the fact that there is more pressure on the Colorado Avalanche. They haven't done it before. They have, they're likely going to lose players like Nazem Kadri to free agency because they can't afford them all. Once they start paying for Nathan MacKinnon and what he's actually worth, that's also going to affect the way that they view salary and players filling in those spots going forward. This is the time for the Colorado Avalanche to get it done. And again, with the way that the rest of the league looks and how teams could get better. Look, we're laughing at the Vegas Golden Knights and their plight right now. If everyone's healthy for a full run, what's stopping them from going back to the Stanley Cup final next year and even beating a team like the Colorado Avalanche? There's no time like the present to do it if you're Colorado. I see where you're getting at with more pressure being on them.
Yeah, these are the two teams of the last 5 years, I would say. Like the Lightning, we know the history. Greatest regular season, or was it the greatest regular season? Anyways, most wins, I think. 62 wins before they crashed out versus Columbus. And of course, they've won the last two Stanley Cups, have the chance for a third. Colorado's bagged a President's Trophy. They've probably won just as many games as anyone in the regular season over these last 5 years. These are the two teams that we've been talking about potentially meeting in a Stanley Cup final for 2-3 years now, because they are the classes of their conferences, or at least have been in recent history. But yeah, only one of them's won, and one of them's got a chance to win a third, while the other one has could possibly see their time pass them by just a little bit, because there are going to be changes, and I do expect them to be around. They still have got Nathan MacKinnon for at least one more year on that $6 million salary. Cale Makar gets a little bit of a bump, but things are going to change a little bit. This is their best chance. So let's see if they can take advantage of their best chance, like the Tampa Bay Lightning have done. I think we should focus in on the Lightning for just a second, because I just found myself marveling at them last night. It's like they are, you know, like the greatest chess players on the planet or whatever. Like they can just figure out the opponent every single time. They're going on their, what, it'll be their 11th straight postseason series victory they've got now. Pat Maroon has, what, 15 in a row, 15. Which is insane. He might be the biggest winner in the history of the NHL, or at least modern NHL. But
at least
they just find a way to figure out what your weakness is, figure out how they can beat you, and execute a game plan. What they did in games 5 and 6 was remarkable. I mean, they just basically shut down the Rangers at every turn. They had maybe one or two blips that they were able to immediately answer, with Steven Stamkos scoring, what, seconds after they finally gave up a goal in game six. Their ability to prevent the opposition from getting shots, the ability to play a lockdown defensive zone, unbelievable. This team really is bulletproof. And I continue, every single time we see them win, it just gets more and more impressive to me. Like it was kind of expected against Montreal, and then it was impressive against the Leafs, and then they just blew Florida out of the water. And then this series, the way that they rebounded from that 0-2 deficit, unbelievable. Like I just have not seen a team like them in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it is the exact opposite of what they were. They were a team that was vulnerable. They were a team that was one note, and now they figured out how to be the best possible version of themselves in the playoffs, and nothing can beat them.
The salary cap at this point is the best thing that could beat them, with the way that they try to put together their rosters. But just especially in this postseason, the way they found ways to win games and take series leads and basically take away the will and souls. I'm thinking particularly of Florida here, but they just have this killer instinct that I don't think many or any other NHL team has. Like that game, that first series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, that game seven, Nick Paul coming up in the clutch, like that was insane. I still think about that game two or game three in that Florida series where Ross Colton scores after mm-hmm. the Panthers go on the power play, and they have arguably their best looking power play of that series, and Tampa still finds a way to get it done. Tampa, a 2-0 series deficit. When was the last time they had a 2-0 series deficit? Because it had been some time before they
Columbus,
had lost.
I guess.
Yeah, it had been some time before they had lost back-to-back games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Their backs were against the wall as far as we've seen them over the last 2-3 years. And they just go off and just win 4 straight. And Andre Palat is a huge reason why they end up winning all of those games. And remember, people were asking, oh, Andrei Vasilevskiy doesn't look the same. He looks fine. He's no big deal, you know, just still being the best goaltender in the world. Just when we were ready to just pass it off to Igor Shesterkin, who had himself a great series. But Andrei Vasilevskiy reminded everyone who he is. This could arguably be the most impressive of all three of their Stanley Cup final runs. And I'm somebody who is big on the fact that the Lightning were able to win those cups in a bubble, in a shortened COVID season. Like the fact that they were able to do all this amidst COVID, I still have high marks for them. I mean, look, we probably shouldn't have even been playing in COVID. So the fact that they were able to do this, they deserve a lot of marks. But the fact that if the Lightning are able to pull this off, having gone through a full NHL season, having gone through a tough 7-game out in the first round against a top team in the Toronto Maple Leafs, sweeping the President's Trophy winners and knocking off an upstart Rangers team after being down 2-0, I mean, if we want, we can look through every single series they went through leading up to that, but that might be a bit too time consuming. But considering the challenges they went through this postseason to get to this point, and now they have to go up against the Colorado Avalanche, if they pull this off, you can make the argument this is the most impressive of their three Stanley Cup wins if they get to that point.
I agree with you. It would easily be their greatest accomplishment because the path was more difficult. I don't even think there's any doubt. We were talking, I believe near the start of the Toronto Tampa series, that whoever gets through this has the most difficult path to the Stanley Cup. And sure enough, it's literally played out in front of us and we've seen it. It has been incredibly difficult, but the Lightning have sort of done it with ease. I mean, it was ease over the President's Trophy winning Florida Panthers. It was tight against Toronto and it was tenuous at times against the New York Rangers, but they found a way. And what's most impressive, especially after winning 2 Stanley Cups, is that there were opportunities for them to be like, okay, we don't have it. We don't got it. There were opportunities presented to them both against Toronto and New York where they could have folded. Instead, they decided to be perfect. They decided to be literally perfect across 4 games versus the New York Rangers. And yes, the New York Rangers ran out of gas a little bit, I think. A lot of injuries were piling up. You could see it affect their performance. But guess what? Braden Point hasn't been seen since Game 7 versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And what? They've got a 8-2 record since then? Unbelievable. 8-2 without Braden Point. They just figure out a way to be as malleable as possible and fit in all the gaps and play the way that they need to play when they need to play it. They are the most versatile team in the NHL. They can play and beat you in any way possible. And now they have the biggest challenge ahead of them. You're right. In the Colorado Avalanche, who are faster than any of the teams they played, more talented, at least from a balance standpoint, with 2 immensely talented defensemen, Nathan MacKinnon, all these great forwards. They are going to be another stiff challenge. But who's not believing that Tampa will figure out the best way possible to play this team, because they figure out the best way possible to play everyone. And more often than not, or at least every time over the last 11 series, they've found a way to beat the team with the recipe needed in order to beat that team. They are spectacular. And I'm looking at the odds. I'm seeing Tampa plus 170 to win, plus 170. Wow.
That seems like it's tight, right?
No, that is way wider than I thought it was going to be. Like you could tell
I don't gamble or do any of the cuff bets. I really should.
You put $100 on Tampa, you could win 207. So you take home 270 from your $100 bet. Basically, I don't even know what I'm doing now. Yeah, 270.
Yeah.
It's almost 2-1 odds, which is insane to me because I don't know. Like what they continue to find a way every single time. And Colorado is dealing with a goaltender disadvantage. They are without, or they have been without, Nazem Kadri. Braden Point could come back. This should be a 50-50 split right now. And the odds are seriously, seriously in Colorado's favor. I'll get into it later, a little later. I'm going to do like a little betting thing this week, but I already have futures on both teams. I win more money if Tampa wins, and that's, I guess, reflected in the odds. But if I didn't have anything on it, I would be looking at Tampa because the value play has to be there. This should be closer to 50-50 for me, and it's pretty wide. I'm shocked, honestly.
Yeah, just Tampa has everything. It's just the one thing I think about with Colorado is that even if Nazem Kadri it might take him some time before he gets into the series, they're just as deep as Tampa is as well. Like, I think just we've seen so many instances in the playoffs where, look, they've played through a bunch of injuries as well. Don't forget Sam Girard is not available to them on the back end as well, but they've been able to get good goals from guys like Nichushkin and JT Compher as well. And we were still thinking about the Darren Helm series winner. Like, I think with the way Colorado plays, they have the top talent to kind of guide them through, but they can get that occasional goal scoring from guys at the bottom as well. Like it is also interesting that both these two teams are missing very valuable centers, at least for the start of this series, but it's very likely that Braden Point might come back a lot sooner than Nazem Kadri. But I still think we're in for a pretty close series. It's just that the goaltending is just going to be the big difference between these two teams. And normally I'm big on the goaltending. It's just, there's something about this Colorado team this year and the fact that they've been able to play through and withstand all of these different injuries and the style of play that they have that leads me to think that they could still get it done over Tampa. But the way that Tampa's been able to lock up all these other teams when they really need to, like, they'll make this close. And if they wake up, here's the thing. If they start off this series tired, like they've done a lot of times in the playoffs this year, Colorado has to bury them. But as soon as they find their legs, and maybe they're at that point now, but as soon as they find their legs and they start playing, ironically, it's the Lightning that play like an avalanche. Like, you just can't stop them. I think we're going to be in. I tried not to hype this up, but here I am again. I think this could be a really good series. And maybe goaltending is the biggest differentiator between these two teams, but I still think we're in for some good games.
I mean, it should, like, it would literally have to play out like the Avalanche being a minus 200 favorite, I think, when you take goaltending out of it, because that could level the playing field. Like, it could be a lot of the Lightning trying to just withstand what Colorado's throwing at them. But a lot of what Tampa's games have looked that way, where it's just them blocking shots and Vasilevsky start. Like, that's what they do. That is their recipe. They just get five men behind the puck. They block shots. They have superb goaltending. That's their recipe. And they counterattack. They take advantage of their opportunities. Ross Colton, Steven Stamkos. They just score when they need to have to, when they need to, when those opportunities are presented to them. But if the chances are equal, if the chances are a 60-40 split in favor of Colorado, you have to believe that Vasilevsky can give Tampa the edge. Like, Colorado is going to have to own this series from a 5-on-5 standpoint, I think, in order to win it, because Vasilevsky is going to have a massive, massive advantage. Maybe his biggest advantage so far in these playoffs, if you look at the goaltenders he's overcome. Jack Campbell played really well. Sergei Bobrovsky was fine, and he's up and down, but he had a good year and he's got capabilities himself. And of course, Igor Shesterkin is the next Vasilevsky in a lot of ways. And he proved, despite a little wobbly start, that he was better than him too. I'm shocked. I might have to double down on the Tampa Bay Lightning, or at least maybe the confidence challenge will figure out the stakes there. We'll get to that in a bit. I do have one more question that's kind of gambling-esque. But if the Lightning won the Stanley Cup, who do you think would win the Conn Smythe Trophy right now?
Andre Vasilevsky was my leading contender for that, just because of how he's, you know, played throughout most of this postseason. But it's kind of weird. Beyond that, like, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's been like one real significant, like,
there hasn't.
There's no one. That's it. Like, there's no one beyond Andre Vasilevsky on the Tampa Bay Lightning who has consistently torched teams throughout the playoffs. Like, it's been a collective effort throughout, and there's been different heroes and different big players at all these different series. We're talking about Nick Paul in one game. Andre Palat had a couple of good games against the Rangers. Ross Colton coming up huge. With Nikita Kucherov has had his moments as well. And I'm not even convinced he's playing at 100%. But the one constant in throughout all of these series is Andre Vasilevsky standing on his head and keeping his team in it and winning these games. So I think Andre Vasilevsky, for me, is the leading candidate off of the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Conn Smythe Trophy.
I think by far he should be the leading candidate. And yet Nikita Kucherov is the favorite among Lightning players with the shortest odds to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. I am shocked by this. I saw it this morning. Again, if I wasn't so invested on the Lightning victory, I would probably be going towards it. I've already bet on Andre Vasilevsky at way better odds, so I'm not going to touch it again. But unless this is a lifetime achievement award, then it should go to Andre Vasilevsky. If it's about these playoffs, Andre Vasilevsky, who's 12-5, 928 save percentage, not even 12-5, 12-4, right? No, 12-5. 12-5, yeah, lost three games to Toronto. 12-5, 928. Brilliant. Bounce back efforts in games. Obviously, his run of not losing after a loss came to an end against the Rangers, but then he responded with four straight wins and was brilliant again in all these elimination opportunities. Andre Vasilevsky won it last year. That doesn't mean he shouldn't win it this year. And Nikita Kucherov being maybe second best to both Hedman and Vasilevsky in the last two doesn't mean he should win it this year. Andre Vasilevsky has easily been the most dominant player for the Lightning. We're talking about back-to-back Conn Smythe trophies, that happening, and him putting himself in the conversation for not only like the top five, top three, but the best goaltender ever in terms of like resumes. He should be winning this Conn Smythe trophy unless something serious changes. Nikita Kucherov simply being the leading scorer isn't enough for me. The fact that he came very close to winning previous Conn Smythe trophies, not enough for me. He kind of sleptwalked through the Leaf series. He's been really, really good and important at times, and he's risen to the occasion. But Vasilevsky is the rock for this team. And of course he should be the favorite for the Lightning. I was shocked to see that this morning.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but why not get ahead of ourselves? You brought up a really interesting point about Vasilevsky and how this Stanley Cup final could affect his legacy so much that we could be talking about him as one of the best ever. Like, thinking about it here, just because guys like Patrick Roy, three Stanley Cups. Yeah, four Stanley Cups, actually. Martin Brodeur has at least two or three Stanley Cups. We're thinking of guys like Dominik Hasek, who have been as dominant as they've been, or other guys like Eddie Belfour, or Marc-Andre Fleury getting 500 wins, and he has a cup to his resume. He has at least one cup to his resume. Like, Andre Vasilevsky, at least in the modern era in terms of goaltending, like, yeah, we should already be throwing him up there with Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist. But that you do bring, I think you bring up a really interesting point where if the Lightning are able to get this done, this puts Andre Vasilevsky in. I mean, I think he's already a Hall of Fame goalie. This, I think, certifies it. Like, dude could retire after he wins this next cup and go straight into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think we're going to have to start having that conversation about where we rank Andre Vasilevsky in terms of goaltenders all time. How many goaltenders in NHL history before Andre Vasilevsky have you ever thought were as dominant as he was in a game seven? Because the way we talk about Andre Vasilevsky in game sevens is on par with how we talk about Mariano Rivera as a closer. Like, there might be no other goalie you would want in a game seven, maybe beyond Carey Price once upon a time. But I think now, if you poll a lot of people in and around the game, I think Vasilevskiy is that dude. And I don't think he's, I can't think of any other goalie who's ever been, I think for me, maybe Carey Price comes as close, but I can't think of any other goalie who's ever been as dominant as he's been. Andre Vasilevskiy, meaning in an elimination game, in a game seven where the stakes are high, he just is that dude. And the Stanley Cup final now, thinking about it, that is an opportunity to elevate his legacy well beyond what it is right now and firmly establish that he is a Hall of Famer and the best goaltender of this era.
No one has the Grim Reaper quality, right? Like Dominik Hasek played for inferior Buffalo teams and sort of took them further than they ever deserved to go. But Andre Vasilevskiy is a goalie befitting of the best team that you and I have ever seen play hockey. Like he is
absolutely,
he is like, people like to separate the goalie and be like, oh, he only did that because of that. Like, no, this is the best team and this is the best goalie. And together they make themselves into what they are, which is potentially the team of our lifetime. Vasilevskiy, I think, is on another level, at least in the current NHL, but is on the path to being right there with all the legends of the game that we've seen before. And what's really impressive about these three Stanley Cups, I mean, there's a lot of things, but he's stared down elite competition all the way through. Like he's overcome a goaltending matchup versus Carey Price. He's overcome a goaltending matchup versus Igor Shesterkin. He's gone head to head with Ben Bishop in a Stanley Cup final. Like whoever the best goaltenders are at the time, it seems like he can just prove that he's better than. And of course it helps to play for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but he is what they built themselves around. They built themselves around having a brilliant netminder who can make all the saves that are within reason. Then they can get in front of shooting lanes and make things easier for them, and they can counter. I mean, when they were just trying to be, when they were trying to win game 6-5 and they were leaving their goaltender out to dry, he wasn't as good as he is now. But with the committed team defense, Andre Vasilevskiy is talented enough to, and has the nerve and the guts to be big in big moments. Like it's the perfect marriage. Vasilevskiy and the Lightning are like reflections of each other, the true greatness on each side. And the fact that they are one is really what makes this team special. And for that reason, he should be the guy winning the Conn Smythe trophy. I will say, just to add to that, Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon are basically coin flips in terms of who would win for Colorado. They're at plus 190 and plus 210 respectively. So you can double your money with one of those, or I guess it would be triple your money with one of those. Nikita Kucherov is plus 375, Vasilevskiy plus 450. Man, I can't
believe that. You are handling this gambling stuff better than I do on the CJ show. Like this is amazing.
I mean, I dabble. I got Vasilevskiy at plus 2,900. So that's a nice one for me. That's a nice one for me.
Okay.
You'd win about $290 on a $10 bet for that. So I'm a little perturbed actually at the fact that Nikita Kucherov is ranked ahead of him, at least with the Vegas odds. But I trust the hockey writers who love writing a great story. They're the ones who choose who wins the Conn Smythe trophy. If you want to write a legacy piece at the end of the Stanley Cup final with the Tampa Bay Lightning winning, your legacy piece begins and ends with Andre Vasilevskiy, because he is like, he personifies the greatness that we are seeing right now because of how good he is and how good he has been and probably how good he'll have to be. That's another thing. Vasilevskiy's gonna have to be brilliant in order for Colorado to not win the Stanley Cup, given all the firepower that the Avalanche have. Let's go to the Rangers quickly. I'll just float it to you this way. Do you expect them to be back? They're kind of ahead of schedule, at least it would seem. They've got a brilliant netminder themselves. They've got some great talent up front, but it's not easy. And sometimes these things can be flashes in the pan. Dallas Stars haven't been back. Montreal Canadiens finished last, I think, at the NHL this year. Just because you get deep in the playoffs doesn't mean you're going to be like the Tampa Bay Lightning the next year. So do you expect the Rangers to be able to build on this?
Yeah, because, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but just the way that this roster looks, this isn't a roster in my eyes that is overachieving and we expect them to miss the playoffs. Like the Canadiens last year, that was a team that overachieved beyond its means and probably should not have been in the position that they were in. The Rangers are a team with a core that should be getting better. They just happen to be well ahead of schedule. No one expected them to be in the conference final this soon, or at least not a lot of people, because I actually, on a bracket for the SDPN, I did say that they were going to make the conference final. So tapping myself on the back.
There you go.
But I'll say this with the New York Rangers, the fact that they have the core that they have up front, the defense, like younger pieces like Keandre Miller doing very well. And then Igor Shesterkin playing into the prime of his career. Like there's a window that's like opened up now where they can try, they have to try to maximize as much as they can on that. And take advantage now that they're well ahead of schedule. It's just probably a little bit longer or a little bit more wide open than it might have been had they, I don't know, maybe missed the playoffs this year or just kind of went about their rebuild just the way everyone else expects them to over like maybe a 4 or 5 year period. But I expect the Rangers to at least be back. It's just the same argument I was bringing up with the Colorado Avalanche and how important it is for them to win this year. Teams are going to get better. Teams are going to improve themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, it could affect a team like the Rangers in their trajectory towards the conference final. I'm not as familiar with their cap structure and what pieces they're going to have to account for, but at some point they're going to have to pay, well, at least in their, at least for the Rangers, because of how it's worked out with Lafreniere and Capocacco not being these world-beating dynamo players, they probably aren't going to have to sign them to these exorbitant contracts when it comes time. So that probably helps. So, yeah, I think that will definitely help their situation. Plus, it's New York. Like, if you're trying to get people to come play in New York, I don't think you're going to have to struggle with that compared to, like, a Winnipeg or an Arizona for the next how many years. I think the New York Rangers have put themselves in a position where they have a good nucleus and they are capable. They should be able to build around it to put themselves in a position where they should be competitive for the next how many years.
Yeah, I think they acted like a team that was maybe a little bit more ahead of or a little bit further along than maybe they really were by going out and getting a lot of, you know, pending UFAs that they might have to like spend a lot in order to retain, like Andrew Kopp, Frank Vatrano, so on and so forth. So but they were right. They were a team that was, you know, a couple wins away from getting to the Stanley Cup final. Like they had a better read than I think a lot of people did when they were questioning whether they should have went out and got those rentals. And I think there's some good and bad with being ahead of schedule, if we want to call it ahead of schedule. But I think you bring up a great point there that Lafreniere, Kako, Hedl, they're guys that are going to, all of them, I don't know if they all need contracts next year, the year after, but soon enough, they're going to need deals. But none of them have really emerged as something that's, you know, okay, we got to break the bank in order to retain. Like they almost fall into the salary structure of Panarin and Zibanejad and Fox and Trouba, you know, making the most on this team. And that's a benefit that these guys had a lot of experience at this level. You've seen the good and the bad from them. You've seen what maybe they need in order to be the difference makers. But if you could pay them before, perhaps you can keep the prices down to a reasonable degree and keep that core together. But as the old saying goes, you build championship teams from the net out. And if that is true, well, they've got Igor Shesterkin, who's by far, an elite goaltender, probably the second best goalie in the league, could be the best goalie in the league next year. If Vasilevsky's, you know, at the peak of his powers and might decline, I wouldn't, you know, set my watch to that by any means. But Shesterkin is an elite goaltender and someone you expect to be great in the postseasons and postseasons to come. And then in front of him, you've got Adam Fox, who's an absolute stud. I gained a greater appreciation for him over the last 2 months. Ryan Lindgren, the same thing, his defense partner, gained an appreciation for him. Jacob Trouba, maybe overpaid, but certainly a factor and undeniably so in the playoffs. And then Keandre Miller, who is, you know, very young and into the salad days of his career and was awesome. So they've got a legitimate top four that you don't have to mess with. You don't have to worry about whatsoever, and an elite goaltender. So with that base, whatever you do up front, it almost doesn't even matter because you're going to be competitive with those five guys being the foundation of your team. So I expect big things from the Rangers. They've got to make a lot of changes. They got to sign players. They're going to be able to attract players. I think they're going to be very, very competitive for the next little while because of who they have in goal and who they have as a top four defensive pair group that can really compare to almost anyone in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they have like a Norris candidate defense player in Adam Fox, who I've been on record saying this, he should be going for the Norris for the next decade. And then everyone else around him in that top four is solid and well above average. Like that's on par with some of the best defensive cores in the league.
Yep.
Like how many other teams could you say that you could put their top four compared to the Rangers?
The
top
two in the Stanley defense? Cup final. That's it.
That's basically it.
Honestly.
And like,
which is something that team should be not a secret, that quality of defense gets you pretty far in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Jacob Trouba has to be easily the oldest one of all those guys.
Oh yeah.
I think.
Lindgren could be sneaky older than we think, but I think he's still pretty young.
But like, it's like, they're not like an aging core. Like this is a good, again, like the pieces that are there are healthy. Like it's good. I think it's good for them that they got to the point that they're at right now, getting to the conference final, not to mention the added playoff experience that they were able to get. Like I see it here. Like even if it didn't work out the way of the Rangers, there's a weird transfer of power that could have easily happened if the Rangers won that series. I just think the Rangers just have the pieces. And I get other teams could do well in the Eastern Conference and get better. But the Rangers have some great pieces all around the lineup that can help them get back to this point again and then eventually surpass that. We haven't even gotten to Gerard Gallant, who's proven that he is a good coach. Mm-hmm. We've seen him get bounced around from different teams. And I think this year kind of proved, I think the last year or so between the World Championship last year and this playoff run, I think this put a lot of people on notice that Gerard Gallant is actually a good coach in the National Hockey League.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, no, there's not zero controversy. The fact that Kaapo Kakko didn't play in game six is something that people are going to be talking about. And maybe there's an issue brewing there. But this is a guy who routinely gets the best out of his group. And there's obviously no better example than taking a misfit Vegas Golden Knight team that everyone sort of laughed at when it was chosen to the Stanley Cup final in year one. Like, there's no better example than that. But this is a good example as well. And they are they're better than that team, but they have more easily identifiable pieces. They've got a Vezina winning netminder in a couple weeks. They've got a former Norris Trophy winner in Adam Fox, who's going to be right there with Cale Makar for the next 10 years, as you mentioned. They've got a lot of really solid pieces, and they just need to continue getting decent support into this system. Maybe one more impact player. You just rely on internal growth with Lafreniere, maybe Kakko and Hedl. They've got a lot that they have to do this summer, but they have a lot to work with. So I think we should expect the Metropolitan Division to perhaps go through the New York Rangers for maybe as much as the next 5 years with what they've got cooking there. So an impressive run for the New York Rangers, but it does fall two games short of reaching the Stanley Cup final this year. Okay, let's get into a preview of that Stanley Cup final. We could kind of take this with whatever way we want to go here, but I think there's some key matchups, sprinkled throughout, and maybe one that sort of piques your attention and we can kind of base our discussion off that. But to me, this is speed versus structure, with Colorado being easily the fastest team in the league, but the most structured team in the league is the Tampa Bay Lightning. So will that speed be able to break down that structure? We shall see. You got Vasilevsky versus whoever plays for Colorado. We've kind of touched on that. We know there's an advantage for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have Anthony Cirelli, who probably, I think Kevin Bieksa actually mentioned it, he should get some love for the Conn Smythe Trophy, given what he has done from a defensive standpoint and shutting down the opposition. Can he hang with Nathan MacKinnon? We've got Devon Toews versus Kucherov and Stamkos. Kadri and Point, will one of them get back? Will one of them be more effective than the other? There's a lot to sort of digest here. So what sort of sticks out to you first as you kind of size up this series?
Probably the Cirelli-Mac matchup here, because there aren't many players who play like Nathan MacKinnon who have the speed and the strength in that combination. Like Anthony Cirelli, a tremendous defensive forward. We've seen him lock down some of the best players in the world, and maybe we'll have to do some deep diving on how he's done against other guys who could come close to Nathan MacKinnon to see what he could do in a matchup like this. But if Anthony Cirelli is able to kind of wrangle down Nathan MacKinnon, who can sometimes play like a bull in a china shop, that would go down as Cirelli's most impressive defensive performance. It's just like, yeah, good luck trying to hang with Nathan MacKinnon and the speed that he's able to bring in. But the next matchup, the speed versus structure idea as a whole, because Colorado has shown that, you know, if they're on the counter, if they're taking it up the ice, they have speed to burn and they have offense to burn and they are able to torch teams if they can. And hey, is it going to work for Tampa for them to get to a point where they just have to have everyone behind the line and just block shots and have Eric Chernak like blocking like a whole handful of them and eating shots from Cale Makar? Like, yeah, that might be the key for the Lightning here. Just ensuring that whatever shooting lanes are available for Tampa, for Colorado, you know, they have to come from distance. The farther you're away from the goal, the lesser your chances are of scoring. I don't know. I think with the structure and the know-how, that's also going to be a big thing too. And I'm one of those guys who's big on experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but the Tampa Bay Lightning know how these games get when it really comes down to it. And it's still a sort of new territory for the Colorado Avalanche on that effect. I mean, they came off a dominant conference final, but they also played up against a team that also didn't have that much conference final experience. So I think the experience at the end of the day, that might be another added matchup to this, inexperience versus experience, with how what the Tampa Bay Lightning have been able to go through in a conference final and a final compared to the Colorado Avalanche, who we talk up as a team that has done really well over these last how many years, but hasn't reached this point yet.
I wonder, speed and structure jumps out to me because if any team's going to slow down Colorado, it's Tampa. And I feel like that might sort of take a little bit from the series because I think Tampa's going to have a cautious approach to expect them to trade chances with the Lightning or with the Avalanche is probably not the recipe. But the thing about the Colorado Avalanche is the speed is like uniform. Like, it doesn't slow down. There's no off switch. There's no, oh, Nathan McKinnon's on the bench, here's our time to breathe. It is always like that. And guys like Pat Maroon, Corey Perry, Belmar, like, they're going to be a little bit outgunned in terms of speed. Like, it doesn't slow down. There's no Ryan Reeves on the other side or Jason Spezza or, I mean, Joe Thornton got into game four, but that was a non-factor. There's no, like, it's always going to be high pressure. And that's what really separates Colorado, I think, from everybody else, is that they are the same team at all times, even if the top end talent isn't necessarily sprinkled throughout the entire lineup. They just play fast all the time. And it's always going to have Tampa Bay, you know, leaning on that structure, because I think they're going to be grasping at that in order to hold on at times in this series. So I wonder if the advantages are lower in the lineup. I wonder if they do a good job with Cirelli against McKinnon, but in the depths of the lineup, it's maybe JT Compher comes up with some big moments. Even that fourth line that we've seen have big moments in these playoffs to this point. I just feel like there's less of a use for Patty Maroon and so on and so forth. And I wonder if that's kind of where the advantages lie, but it's going to be top end versus top end, and the Makar and Taves versus Kucherov and Stamkos. Kucherov and Stamkos have built their playoffs on counterattacks, and what pairing is better against counters than Devontae's and Cale Makar? I mean, we saw what they were able to do against Connor McDavid at times. I wonder if Kucherov and Stamkos are going to have a difficult time in this series specifically. So just trying to figure out where the advantages might lie. It's difficult because I feel like a lot of this is going to be sort of shooting gallery stuff for Colorado, while they have a lot of possession, but are struggling to make best use of it. And that doesn't make up, that doesn't lead to the best sort of aesthetically pleasing hockey. But that's kind of what I see, is Colorado's going to own the puck a lot, but Tampa's going to make it really, really difficult for them to break through. And it might come down to some players that we don't expect to actually get those moments, make those moments count for Colorado.
Yeah. Like, if you're Colorado and you're going up against Andrei Vasilevskiy, what are you doing to make his life a living hell? That's one question I have about what their game plan is going to be in order to try to negate that advantage that the Tampa Bay Lightning have. You mentioned making a good point as well with Colorado likely being on the puck a lot, but Tampa's going to have to make it tough. Is that just like taking away the middle of the ice and just pushing them off to the wing? But a team like Colorado that could be very dangerous off the wing, is that a good idea? Because maybe they use that speed to eventually break back inside. Like, that is a very dynamic forward core. And yes, they have the defense, guys like Victor Hedman who could step up and hold some of these guys in check. But like, Colorado's just fast and high octane. And at some point, like, the dam might break with this team. But also, I feel like you could almost say that statement for both of these teams. It's very interesting trying to find the weaknesses and advantages with both of these teams, because maybe not necessarily that they mirror each other in either way. It's just that one thing that you might see as an advantage could be negated, but also there's a way for them around it. Like, both these two teams have the tools to really get at each other. It's going to be really fascinating to see. Like, I'm really intrigued at that.
That's why I think Kadri and Point are so crucial. Like, if Tampa gets that added element, and let's say he can only play the wing you got Cirelli. So he plays on Cirelli's wing, takes Hagel's role, but still a really, really smart impact player that can really, really assist the Lightning here in taking back some of that speed advantage and that smarts advantage and just doing exactly what the Lightning do. I mean, Braden Point is one of the key factors in laying the groundwork for a game plan execution. Like, he is one of those guys who does everything the right way and someone that they lean on normally in these sort of moments. But Kadri, if they don't have him, the Avalanche, it does, you know, create a little bit of an opening. You kind of have to lean more on Nathan MacKinnon, who could get shut down by the Cirelli Point tandem if they're together. It's definitely possible. So if they don't have Kadri back, that second and third line might not be able to create the advantage needed in order to take back a lot from this series, because it's going to put a lot of pressure on the MacKinnon line to produce if you can't rely on either a second or third line to be dominant within the 5-on-5 run and play. So I really do think it's important when like assessing who's going to win this series, which team's going to get a key player back and which key player is going to be able to really help their team. If Braden Point's laboring and can't go, well, then you don't have that advantage. And if Nazem Kadri can't shoot or handle the puck, then he's not going to be the same player. So there's a bit of an unknown here with those two players and whether or not one of them will get back in.
Almost feels like between Kadri and Point, like, which injured center comes back first? And like, whichever one gets as many games in before the other one gets in could play a role into how the series could shape up for that respective team, just because of the abilities that both of them bring. Like, Kadri's had himself a game-breaking postseason and has been excellent in terms of providing added scoring for the top talent on that team. And Braden Point, he's always been a gamer in the postseason as well. They need those players. And we hear that Point is extremely probable to come back. Who knows when Kadri's going to come back? It might be a race to determining which of these centers are going to be healthy first. At least they have till Wednesday to get themselves together, but that might not be enough time for Kadri and Point to necessarily be ready for the start of that series.
Yeah, a little bit of time should help Braden Point, though, I think, because he looks like he's inching back. He did some, you know, there's speculation that he might play in game six, and now he'll have another week or almost a week to get himself ready. Where Kadri, I think they kind of know, like, he probably could play, but how effective is he going to be? I don't know if a couple extra days will help him. Maybe as much as it'll help Point. Again, that's speculative, but it seems like those two are going to play a big role in this series. But it might come down to which one can play a bigger role in terms of how it might tilt the series. There is maybe money coming in on the Lightning a little bit, because I'm seeing plus 155 to win the series now. So again, $10 would $10 would help you bag $25.50 if that's indeed the route you were going to go. Let's pick this series, not against any spread or with any odds, because we got the last chapter of the confidence challenge here. Now, if we had the same pick here, you win. And I don't want to force a pick on you. I don't want to force the entertainment value on you. So I think we should pick this series on the count of 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? Do you know who you're going to pick in this series?
Do I have to also say, since it's just one team, I guess it's
just one team. It's worth 8 points. You're up 6. So I have to get it right. You have to get it wrong in order for this in order for the result to not be firm. If we both pick the same series, or we both pick the same team, then you will get 6 Bobby Margaritas sent to Montreal. But if we pick a different series, then it's up in the air, or a different team, it's up in the air. So I think we should, you know, say it on the count of 3. If you are ready to make your pick.
I'm ready to make my pick.
And the lag might cost us here, but we'll try it. So we're going 3, 2, 1. Tampa Bay.
Colorado.
Beautiful.
Oh, we picked different.
I went Tampa just because I thought you'd go Colorado, because I need it. I need it to make it interesting or else I lose. So
yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning win. I get some alcohol sent my way. Colorado yes. Avalanche, the favorites at -175. If they win, 6 Bobby Margaritas coming your way. I'm glad we did that because you could have easily just said Tampa if I said Tampa. But I know you're an upstanding individual. You're not going to win that way.
If I lose this challenge, man, I'm going to be so embarrassed. I had a massive lead. I felt really, I thought I was winning the damn thing. I was like, all right, cool. After the conference final, I got it in the bag.
I mean, you got a huge advantage. And you should win it. If I do, I would pick Colorado if it was just, you know, if this wasn't the case. But I want to make it interesting.
And I thought about flipping.
You got a big advantage.
I thought very hard about flipping. I was thinking like, man, just the way Tampa.
If you said
Tampa, like, you know,
if you said Tampa there, it would have been, it would have blown up in my face.
Oh, that's okay though. You know what? If you win, I'll get you some St. Amboise beer, and you know, I'll have that coming your way. I don't know if you're coming for F1 or not, but we'll figure something out.
Still TBD, but I think we need a package. Get the FedEx your way.
Are you coming for the draft?
Probably not. I expect to be in Montreal at some point, but we're gonna figure out something this summer. It's gonna happen.
You should be in for the draft. Everyone's coming in for the draft.
I know. I probably should go, but
you should go. You should totally go. Even Tic Tac Tomar might show up for the draft.
Wow. I mean, if we could do a live zone time, we gotta make it a content play. We gotta have something going to twist my arm a little bit, I think.
I mean, that look, if that's what's going to have to happen, because I mean, you know, I'm here, you know, Avery coming in, Tic Tac Tomar is already wondering who's coming. Like, I think the powers that be at Yahoo, not to turn this into a board meeting all of a sudden, but there is an angle here that could work where, you know, we all just come in, we do a zone time recording or whatever, and we make it work. Then you turn into a whole team bonding thing. We all just like go out and like hang out. And whatever, dude, I'll put
zone time after dark.
Yay. I'll put together the pitch to the bosses at Yahoo. I know I'm not the full-time employee here, but I'd like to think I have like a little bit of sway, so we'll make something work.
Let's put pressure on the people that matter. We were gonna do a coaching thing because there's a lot of whatever hearsay. There was a, you know, a nice little graphic we could use from last night from the broadcast from Sportsnet with putting, you know, like a little elementary school thing where you're matching up where these coaches could go. But
oh yeah,
let's react to it when it happens. I don't think there's anything that's that fascinating. A lot of what we expect. So let's wait on that maybe for a zone time episode or a future Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast. And let's jump right into the tire pumps. I'm going to give mine to the RBC Canadian Open, the best golf tournament that happened this weekend by far.
Oh wow!
But I just think, you know, we haven't seen the RBC Canadian Open in a couple of years. It has never historically been this like really prioritized event on the PGA Tour. But this year, it looks amazing on TV. The field is fantastic. The fans and the atmosphere is tremendous. They're having a great time there. I think that this is maybe the start of the rehabilitation of what should be one of the biggest events in Canadian sports year after year. I'm glad that they're putting a little bit extra into it. I'm glad that the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour superstars wanted to show the other tour, the LIV Tour, that the best players are still playing in the PGA Tour this weekend. I think it was kind of deliberate that a lot of the best players showed up at St. George's, but I mean, I just think it's a world-class event. By what we've seen, and they put a little extra effort into it this year, and they're going to continue to do that, make it something that people really want to go to year in, year out, and it looks awesome on TV. I wish I was able to make my way down there, but I've had to settle for the TV product, which has been awesome. So shout out to everybody who put that show on, because it's been great to have the tournament back, and it's great that they're taking it to the next level.
Hear, hear. That sounds pretty cool. I've been thinking about my tire pump here, and I guess I could give two, but they'd be for two wildly different individuals. So on one end, I love how Draymond Green has made himself obviously a villain, as he would normally would, but podcasting as a result of has entered the discourse as a man who seems to be just as into selling himself on podcasts as much as he is into winning an NBA Finals trophy with the Golden State Warriors. I just love this storyline. I love how he's pushing it, and it's giving us all that sweet, sweet content that we desire. So a tire pump goes to Draymond Green. And at the same time as Game 6 was going down last night with the Rangers and the Lightning, I happened to be at an AHL Calder Cup playoff game between the Laval Rocket and the Springfield Thunderbirds, a game that went to overtime and resulted in the Springfield Thunderbirds winning and taking a series lead. In fact, the game-winning goal happened around the same time as the eventual game-winning goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you could, there's so many players on this Thunderbirds team, a lot of AHL guys, the St. Louis Blues affiliate, a lot of guys who have actually had former ties to the Montreal Canadiens. In fact, Charlie Lindgren, Ryan Lindgren's brother, playing in that game. But the real deal, James Neal is the man who was the OT winner, who had the OT winner in that game. His third of the postseason. Very interesting that a guy who has been known for scoring goals in the National Hockey League can only get some opportunities in the AHL at this point. But it was kind of a cool nostalgia play to see him get some shots in an AHL playoff game and score a massive goal that now puts his team one win away from the Calder Cup final. So tire pumps this week. Draymond Green and James Neal for me.
I love the James Neal one. I'm shocked. It is shocking to me that James Neal is playing in the American Hockey League right now. Not because he doesn't deserve to be, but like that he's willing to do it is almost like it is shocking to me. I don't know James Neal. I don't really know anything about him, but the fact that he is playing hard and well and scoring goals in the American Hockey League in the playoffs is shocking to me. Like it's you know, you have to play if you want your paycheck, but I'm surprised he wants his paycheck that bad. This guy who's made a lot of money and I didn't think would ever have the time for an American Hockey League demotion. So congrats to him for taking it in stride and actually competing. That's pretty awesome. The Draymond one, I'm not as into. Like, that's great. You're making us content. You're giving us something to think about, but this guy is luggage. He is awful. I mean, unless he's being self-deprecating on the podcast, unless he's taking some of the blame, although it's 2-2, but like he's been so bad and he's getting ready for his post-playing career. Maybe it's time to step into that post-playing career because he cannot help this team anymore. He's been awful.
He has
really bad. And I don't think he's probably admitting that on his podcast, but shout out to the Golden State Warriors.
Do that. Y'all don't get this podcast.
But he's, man, he's if I'm Steph Curry and I'm out there, I need to score 35 a night in order for us to win because Draymond just doesn't have it. And he's going straight to the podcast after, like, dude, just give me 10 boards and help me like that way rather than focusing on that. I mean, I sound like a caveman, archaic. And I actually love that he does it, but he's awful. And it's a tough look when you're not doing your job to do the other job. Like in any, you're a guy with many jobs. If you're not doing your main one at a reasonable level and you're doing all this other stuff, how's your employer going to be reacting to that? Like,
oh, he's going to get pissed.
Brutal. He's brutal. But I don't think anything can help him be brutal right now. So you got to do what you got to do to make sure that money keeps rolling in for the next 20 years. And I guess his media career is exactly how he's going to do that.
For me, it's the fact that his mom is out here tweeting, look, stop asking me where my son is. I don't know who that is. Is that a clone in there? When your mom has questions about your play, man, that's when you know you are not doing well. That being said, we are getting all this delicious, amazing content. And as someone who likes distractions from the everyday grind of covering the National Hockey League, I can appreciate this being a side story. And I don't know if podcasting will ever get better than this.
No, it's great. It definitely adds an added element to the NBA Finals, which is being stretched out quite considerably, maybe over by the time I think the Stanley Cup final begins. It may have a small overlap, but the stage will be set for Colorado in Tampa Bay soon enough. It's going to be a fantastic Stanley Cup final. It may not be 6-5 every night, but it is the two best teams in the NHL going at it, which is really all that we can ask for. The Tampa Bay Lightning going for the three-peat, the Colorado Avalanche looking to finally get that Stanley Cup that we all had them pegged for, with the Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar era. It should be a fantastic final, and we'll be here to break it down on both the Iowa Sports Hockey Podcast and Zone Time. Julian, thanks again for another Sunday. It's been a delight.
Likewise, brother. Likewise. In peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.